Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America. This is Corporal Tim Thornton from the Military Exchange Talk Show. Did you wake up today and say, I'm not living in the America that I grew up in? A 3% tax on tea eventually led to the American Revolution. Now you pay up to 70% of your earnings to a de facto corporate government. You are groped at the airport, surveilled on the street, spied upon in your own home, fed propaganda by the media, lied to by your representatives. Have your rights eroded, your currency devalued, and are we on the verge of an overt police state? Is this a WTF moment, and you're asking yourself, what happened to the home of the brave and the land of the free? Well, at the Military Exchange Talk Show, we address these issues and more. Current events, military topics, veteran right issues, and WTF moments. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it. Or being free will just be words and nothing more. Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome, enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 in Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hector We Mono Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out. Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family. Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation of the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's, past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York. Welcome back to Civil War Radio, and this is Scope Shooters Committee on Political Education with Don Smith, and he is going to talk to us today about...
Well, a couple of items. The first is the assault, whatever that means, weapon recertification, which is required by New York State, and we're going to talk about red flags. No, not communist China.
Red flags.
Red flags. Anyone in New York State who owns a so-called assault weapon, I hate that term. I don't like the term weapon, first of all. Remember a judge in the county mentioning one night in one of our meetings, he said, you know, the most prolific weapon that I've seen come through my courtroom? Sneaker.
Sneaker?
Yeah.
Sneaker?
Yeah. Now, body parts, yes, but the sneaker was the worst offender. Could you believe that? Yeah. But anyway.
What do you mean the shoe?
People kicking with sneakers on, perhaps, throwing sneakers. I don't know, but he just made that comment at our meeting.
Rather interesting. Going Wang Chung tonight, right?
I was thinking fist.
Fist, yeah.
Yeah, so. Body parts, far more so than any other, especially more so than guns. Anyway, the state, through the so-called SAFE Act, very badly named bill, by the way, in 2013, January 15th, 2013, in fact, they passed a law. This law, it was actually a combination of laws. One of the laws involved was if you own an AR-15 or a rifle with a detachable magazine, okay, that was semi-automatic, it was limited in terms of the number of the so-called evil features that it could have. Okay. But anyway, we won't go back into that. The key is, I want people to realize that as of now, the state is sending out notifications that anyone who owned an AR-15 or any so-called assault weapon, there are other, shotgun, for example, that had a thumb hole stock. Certain shotguns were labeled as assault weapons, believe it or not. Anyone with an assault weapon who registered that assault weapon now must recertify it within 5 years, and they're sending out notifications to that effect. Now, if you remember with a handgun recertification, okay, the due date was January 31st of this year, 2018, because that was 5 years after the beginning of the SAFE Act, supposedly. And every 5 years, depending on when you received your pistol permit in New York State, you have to recertify that pistol permit. And so they have announced that this also must be true for the so-called assault weapons. And by the way, you can go online and do this, just as you can with handguns. There is a form that you can download. You can mail it in if you wish. You can stop at a trooper's barracks and pick it up. And it's called an Assault Weapon Registration Amendment.
Wow, they even call it that.
They do. It's an amendment. Yeah. To your registration. What does it require? Well, your last name, first name, date of birth, social security number, your driver's license. Because, you see, what they want to do is, again, tie in our driver's license with a database of gun ownership. So if you're stopped on the highway, the law enforcement officer can look at the database and determine that you as a driver also are a permit holder, perhaps. You have a gun. May have a gun in the car. By the way, you and I both know, all three of us realize that criminals aren't recertifying any more than they're registering guns. So this only affects law-abiding citizens like us.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Information to amend. Oh, by the way, you need a registration number. So when you registered that assault weapon back in 14, let's say 2014, you got a number, and you have to include that as well, and a mailing address. Now, here's what you must answer. Number one, did your name change, yes or no? Okay, if so, indicate what that change was. Number two, did your mailing address change, yes or no? And if so, indicate the change. This will keep their database up to date. Number three, did your physical address change as well as mailing address? Yes or no? Okay. Did your email address change? Yes or no? And number five, do you have any other reasons for amending? Yes or no? Do you have any other reasons for amending? Not sure what that means necessarily. But false statements are punishable as a Class A misdemeanor. Understand, gentlemen, that recertification is nothing more than you confirming that you are capable, mentally stable, sufficiently stable, whatever, to own those firearms. That's all it is. Because you're recertifying yourself to yourself. Okay? No one is going to criticize you. You're not going to be tested. You're not going to a mental health provider to be tested. You yourself are saying, yes, I am qualified to own firearms. So make sure that you follow the directions on that form. It has to be sent in within 5 years of the date that you registered your assault weapon. 5-year window, just like handguns.
And there's a place where they list all the assault weapons that are... So if you have a shotgun, you don't have to do this.
Only if it's a shotgun that's... That is, well, there's some shotguns that are semi-automatic. Yes, they... You have to look at the list. There's actually a list that the state has put out, and if you go to the website, state police website, you can find that list of all the guns that have been classified as a so-called assault weapon. Again, whatever that means. Now, what I want to talk about today is how our Second Amendment is being infringed upon through the back door, shall we say. Now, you'll hear people saying, you talked about repealing the 16th Amendment. You know, there's people out there who would like to repeal the Second Amendment. They know it can't happen, for the most part, but there's ways around that. For example, states are confiscating guns right now, and they're doing it by violating the Fourth Amendment. Now, what's the Fourth Amendment? Here's our constitutionalist over here, Armand. What's the Fourth Amendment state? Do you remember?
Illegal search and seizure, I believe.
It's part of it, yeah. That's basically it.
Okay. I got it right here.
Good for you.
Give me a second to get to the right page here. So all of our listeners...
Fourth Amendment. How could the Fourth Amendment be affecting our Second Amendment? That's the question.
All right. The Fourth Amendment states, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Correct.
Well, it sounds like that whole thing with President Trump's lawyer, Mr. Cohen, like it brings that whole situation home. That's what I was told. Someone said, oh, you do a show on the Constitution, like it would be boring. I go, you know what? It's the least boring thing in the world because every day it's being tested.
Yes.
I mean, 2018, and it's still being tested.
That's what Hollywood makes movies about. It really is.
Well, the question is, how can our Second Amendment be negatively impacted by the Fourth Amendment, by basically violations of the Fourth Amendment? Now, they aren't violating the Second Amendment, or are they? Yes, they are.
Well, they are.
Sure they are.
Infringed.
Yeah.
Yep.
By violating the Fourth Amendment, they're violating the Second. Example, after the shooting occurred in Parkland, Florida, okay, they passed a bill, now a law, in Florida that is, let's see, simply put, if someone thinks that someone else might be a danger to himself or others, They can present an argument to a judge, and that judge, based upon the arguments, is free to decide whether the state police can be sent in and forcibly remove, as you said, private property, okay, legally owned firearms from that person's possession. No warrant, etc. Now, this has been happening in New York State. We talked about this some time ago. Within the SAFE Act, there was a change in the mental health law. They provided an opportunity. It was a provision 9.46, which became section 9.46 in the mental health law once the SAFE Act was passed. And this new section 9.46 allowed a mental health provider, or does allow that mental health provider, to contact the state police if they feel that one of their patients is perhaps, basically like this bill in Florida said, a danger potentially to themselves or someone else. That's all that's necessary. Okay. Prior to passage of the SAFE Act, the mental health law always required a second criteria. That second criterion was imminent danger. And you may recall a few weeks back we discussed that. So now it's the likelihood that someone's dangerous, and that's all. And the New York State Psychiatric Association has come out. The president, actually at the time, was Glenn Martin when the statement was made back in 2013. He said, we don't operate on the basis of likelihood. We don't have a crystal ball. Okay? Is there imminent danger or is there not imminent danger? And if there isn't, there shouldn't be any action taken. Certainly, no confiscation of firearms. But what the state has done is taken it upon itself. And by the way, it isn't just New York State. New York State, by passing the SAFE Act and this change in the mental health law, gave them a back door to the Second Amendment, okay? But that wasn't sufficient. See, other states without a SAFE Act found, wait, like Florida, I'll tell you what, we're simply going to pass a bill. And this bill says, and it's basically a restraining order. We've heard of those before. It's what we call an emergency risk protection order, called an ERPO, E-R-P-O. These ERPOs are being passed by states across the country. Examples. New York State just passed one. As of April 1st. Now, by the way, this was a policy bill. We're talking about policy here, aren't we? Mm-hmm. It was passed within the budget. So any senator or member of the assembly in New York State that voted for the budget automatically voted for this ERPO, this Extreme Risk Protection Order. These policy bills should be voted on separately from the budget. And some will argue, even within the Assembly and the Senate, that this should be done. But the governor and his three men in a room, they make these decisions. It's going to be in the budget. Why? Well, because they know that there's not going to be any objection to the budget. It has to be passed. So these bills will be passed with it. What's interesting here is you take a look at this. These are all, we're talking a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And Armand, as you said, it states very clearly the right of the people to be secure in their persons, their houses, their papers, and their effects. Now, the effects that the state is after, obviously, are the firearms. So they're using the Fourth Amendment to remove firearms, which in effect vacates that individual's Second Amendment. Because we're talking about a protection in the Fourth Amendment against unreasonable searches and seizures. Unreasonable. Warrants. There's no warrants involved. Knock on the door. That's it. There's no notice given. There should be probable cause. There should be an oath of affirmation supporting the warrant. And there should be, in particular, an identification of where they're searching and what they're searching for. And they say, no, we want your pistol permit and we want your firearms. And by the way, that includes non-permitted firearms, long guns, shotguns, 22s, rifles, etc. Not just your permitted guns. This article that I'm quoting, by the way, was written by a Bob Adelman. He's an Ivy League graduate and a former investment advisor. So this isn't a fly-by-night author. You know, it isn't someone from, shall I say, the NRA either that I know of. They've gotten a bad rap on this. Jonas Oransky, who's a deputy director of Michael Bloomberg's Every Town for Gun Safety. You've heard of that organization? Every Town for Gun Safety? Mm-hmm. You haven't heard of that?
Probably not on my friends list.
That organization, funded by Bloomberg and his friends with lots of money, they're the ones responsible for these types of bills being passed. They're the ones that are going out and paying, literally, tons of money to legislators, throwing it in their campaign coffers to get these bills passed. They're also the ones, by the way, Bloomberg and his friends, who funded these so-called student marches. Remember the one in Washington? Who do you think paid for that? The kids didn't pay for it. One example, remember Gabby Gifford?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Congresswoman who was shot a few years ago. By the way, the only shooting that I'm aware of that occurred in a non-gun-free zone. The only one. But anyway, she contacted a friend of hers who happens to be the owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft. Also someone who is against guns. Asked Kraft if he would be willing to donate his plane, private jet, to fly these youngsters to Washington for this march. He did. Others did the same. Others contributed money for buses, etc. Didn't come from the kids. In fact, I heard at one point, and I believe this truly, kids were walking into restaurants with a $5 and a $10 bill stapled together. This was a payment method. They get on the bus and are given the money and got off and they bought lunch, etc. Yeah, we're in trouble here, folks, because they're going in the back door to destroy our Second Amendment. And they're violating other amendments. And I would say the Fifth Amendment, due process, the Sixth Amendment, 14th Amendment, due process again. These are being violated in an effort to take away our guns. You don't have to repeal the Second Amendment to do it either. It's happening. Keeping governments from being somewhat nimble, I like those words, somewhat nimble, was the primary reason our founders added the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Okay? In fact, without the Bill of Rights that contains it, the Constitution would never have been ratified. Hmm. Did you know that or not?
That's one of the, I believe that's one of the sticking points to ratification.
Sure. And the reason why was perfectly described by Thomas Jefferson. In a statement, in questions of power, Let no man be heard of confidence in man, but bind him down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution. In other words, this Constitution is a method by which we, the commoners, are protected from tyrannical governments. Mm-hmm. Would you not agree?
I do agree.
But there was a chance, perhaps even a good chance, that local police, if they had had such power, people will say, well, they could have headed off the shooter in Florida. In other words, if they had had this bill passed in Florida prior to that Parkland shooting, that they could have prevented the shooting. Now, this is the, you know, again, the other side and their theory. Don't know. We do know there were at least, what, 39 contacts made with that household? Somebody didn't pick up on a problem? Somebody didn't? I mean, in this state, for example, we have in our mental health laws, we didn't need a 9.46 addition to our mental health law. We already had a 9.39, 9.41, for example, that would allow a law enforcement officer, perhaps just a phone call from a doctor, to take a patient to a hospital for a mental evaluation, overnight or otherwise. So we already had that in the law. Apparently Florida didn't have that. I don't know.
You know, you're making me think, Don, about all these different laws. And you could do that what if all day long, pick a law randomly.
Just absolutely.
And go, what if, you know, and I'll bring it back to its simplest form. What if this young man followed the Ten Commandments? It would have never happened. I could play that game too, right? The what if game?
That's right.
Thou shalt not kill. You violated the first commandment, or one of the major commandments. So, I mean, it's, you know, that hindsight is 20/20, that type of thing. So, we got bigger issues than the gun control.
Well, again, even the sheriff down there in Parkland, he complained because he didn't have the tools to prevent this shooter from committing a crime.
He had the tools. He didn't use them properly.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah. He had the workbench. He had the pegboard with the tools hanging up.
Yep.
He had them in the drawer. He had them, you know. Snap-on visited his office regularly, I heard. I'm just kidding. I'm making that up. So he had the tools.
That's right. You know,
to be some mental health law in Florida where they could have brought this kid in. And, you know, and I always go back to the safe. You know, people don't even have, I mean, we have them, those gun cabinets with a nice glass door, you know, with a nice etching of a deer or a bird flying away. But I know maybe this sounds more to the left, but lock the stuff up. You know, I know he stole the key, got into the cabinet. Well, he shouldn't have been able to steal the key. But it's just the whole thing is just a mistake after mistake. And this kid gave away so many signals that he was trouble. Hurting small animals, stalking people. Everything that was wrong, this kid did.
Yeah.
And if you want to call it a cry for help, well, he was screaming at the top of his lungs.
Mm-hmm. In the news this past week, too, we've referred to this before. In the city of London, the mayor is talking about knife control.
I heard that.
Oh, yeah.
No one needs a knife, he said.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess acid's a problem, too, in London. That's another thing that they use. They'll throw acid on a person. So that'd be next, I guess. No one needs to be carrying acid either, I would think, right?
It would be nice if the world was like that, but then a bad guy approaches you. You're not allowed to have a knife. You're not allowed to have pepper spray, which is a lot getting to the point of like New York, and you can't have these self-defense weapons, but they don't want you to have a gun either. They don't want you to shoot people. So eventually you just come up with whatever's not written on the books next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty soon I'll just be shooting shots these poop at people to keep them away from me because they haven't listed poop yet.
Well, you mentioned London. Mm-hmm. Now, they compared London with New York City. And of course, you can't have a gun in London. Mm-hmm. But and now he doesn't want anyone to have knives. Mm-hmm. That's the latest. Mm-hmm. You saw that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Knives have been outlawed in London, England.
Well, you know, I would think mostly because the bad guys are running around cutting up people, mm-hmm. right? Stabbing yeah. them, slicing them, because the other guys don't carry a knife to defend themselves.
Oh, sure.
If you had a knife to defend yourself, you and I are both going to get cut, and you're not going to like it that much.
Yeah.
Right?
So we need bad guy control is what we need.
You think?
Yeah. That's what we need, is bad guy control.
But
because
the
bad guy,
the
like you
guys,
said earlier,
yeah.
the bad guy's not going to register their firearm.
Sure.
They're not going to register their knife. They're not going to register their mace, their hammer, you name it. A bad guy is going to do bad things.
That's right.
So,
and the weapons will just become that much more obscure until you're running around with a pitchfork in the back of your pocket. And it doesn't matter. If you want to live, you want to defend yourself, and, you know, like President Tim Andrews said last week, you know, there's a point where I'm physically not going to be able to fight everybody off. I'm going to eventually need some help. So it's going to be something.
Why don't we issue straitjackets for everyone? Government-controlled straitjackets. So whenever you're out in public, you have to put on this jacket that's controlled by a government computer brainiac somewhere who pushes the button and you walk around with your hands strapped.
Won't work, Arnold. Won't work because the bad guy will run out from the alley without the straitjacket on.
Yeah,
he'll knife you anyway.
You know, so I should keep my mouth shut because some lawmaker might say that's what we need.
You ought to see some of the bills that are written.
You know, that's what's not in a futuristic movie. Yeah. You know, in the futuristic movies, you don't have, like, they shave your head, mm-hmm. you don't have any logos, you're wearing a jumpsuit, mm-hmm. but a jumpsuit where you're restricted, so you can't get into trouble or do harm. See, you just added the next thing to Hollywood.
Oh, boy.
You watch the next futuristic movie.
Sure.
Will be a fashionable straitjacket.
See,
cause no harm, get no harm.
But, by the way, there's already about a half a dozen of these states, now one more, New York, that have passed laws like this. In fact, I had some notes here from this article. Where was it? Which state? Well, here's a few of the states. Oh, here it is. Florida is the seventh state to adopt such laws, along with California, Connecticut, Indiana, Oregon, Washington, and Rhode Island. At least 24 other states are considering such legislation, and it includes New York. And this article was written prior to the passage of our budget in New York, so we now have it. Listen to this, the law in Indiana. This is interesting. This doesn't even require a judge, okay? Law enforcement officers can decide on their own to confiscate firearms, weapons, whatever, from someone guilty of what? A crime? No. The word is a pre-crime. Have you ever heard of a pre-crime?
Yeah, they did a whole movie on that where they can read your mind.
That's right.
And they know that in the future you're going to commit a crime.
That's right.
So they come and get you now.
That's right.
Well,
exactly.
How can that cop do that?
Pre-crime was in that there was a specialized police department. Call that? That was back in 2002. Okay. It was set in Washington, D.C. in the year 2054. So this was a futuristic film. This specialized police department apprehends potential criminals before they commit a crime based upon, as you say, this knowledge, this foreknowledge, which was provided by three psychics. They called them precogs.
Oh, so we are talking about the same movie.
We are.
Yeah.
In Seattle, Washington, the group is called the Crisis Response Squad. Okay? Division of the Seattle Police Department. They've already pre-identified pre-criminals before they commit atrocities, and they've already seized their legally owned firearms. On March 1st, one of those identified as a pre-criminal didn't comply. Now, this is March 1st of this year, 2018, Seattle, Washington. One of those identified by the Seattle Police Department didn't comply with a court order, made the headlines when police entered his residence and forced him to relinquish his weapons. KOMONews.com is the source. They covered the incident, informing its readers that the 31-year-old man hadn't committed a crime but was guilty of escalating behavior, whatever that is. Some workers at a local restaurant, again, according to KOMO, Seattle, Washington, said, quote unquote, the defendant harassed him while he was carrying a holstered firearm, which is legal there, by the way, in Washington. Okay. The news broadcast added that this man's pre-crimes, now, we're not talking about crime, we're talking about pre-crimes, included a history of police seizing a shotgun from him, and that was a different incident. Okay. They entered his residence with a so-called warrant based not on probable cause, that's what we assume a warrant is based on, right? But on a much lower standard of what they call reasonable cause. The police, whatever, have you ever heard of reasonable cause? In other words, they believe this to be true, so therefore it must be true. The police not only retrieved a .25 caliber handgun, but then entered the residence of one of the man's family, where they hoped to find some other firearms that belonged to him. Incredible. It's happening.
Only I mean, so that part's true.
True. Absolutely right. True.
And it's on what radio station did they report
this? KOMO News out of Seattle.
What does that spell when you say it out loud?
Como.
Como. Like governor.
Close.
Is that on
like
purpose?
Governor. Like
governor. Is that on purpose?
No, right. I didn't make this up.
Well, isn't that what a health and welfare inspection is? You come in and you go, okay, neighbor said you were running around the yard naked, and so I'm the local sheriff guy. I come in and look at you, talk to you. See some value to what they said that you might be, you know, causing harm to yourself or others. Is that really what this is, but they've turned it into...
Or that you might cause harm.
Right.
Yeah, this is a pre-crime, remember. You haven't done anything. You go to katu.com in Seattle. katu.com in Seattle. They covered the same incident. And they were shedding some additional light on this man's pre-crimes. Get this, quote-unquote, right off the website. Neighbors said he had been intimidating people for a year, even staring down customers through storefront windows while wearing a gun at his side. They suspect mental illness. Pre-crime. Pre-mentally ill.
You know, I don't know where to take that, because if it's just... this guy really just walking up to a window. He's allowed to wear his weapon like that.
Yeah.
And he's looking in to see if it's someplace he wants to shop. I had a 3-year-old doing the same thing yesterday, standing on the deck, looking in the window, trying to see when mom's coming back out. I mean, didn't call the cops. Didn't have a gun.
Well, now get this. This KATU.com, it gets better. They unearthed even more incriminating evidence that the man was about to commit a crime, okay? There was a man living in this gentleman's apartment, or at least not in the same apartment, but in the complex. And he stated that the man was running around the hallways with his .25 caliber automatic. It created a lot of fear in me, obviously, because I didn't know if he was coming in after me or going to just start shooting the place up. And when he learned that the police were able to seize the man's firearms without probable cause, okay, or a warrant of any kind, as required under the Fourth Amendment, okay, bingo, He was able to breathe more easily. So people are going to pick up on this, and this is going to expand. And the pre-criminal, who is deprived now of his firearms, okay, he's lost his Second Amendment rights through the Fourth Amendment.
For looking in windows and walking down the hallway.
Carrying a gun, looking which is legal in the state of Washington.
But he's got no other crimes. He's not...
He hasn't committed a crime.
He hasn't slapped anybody around. He hasn't hurt little dogs and children. Hasn't stolen any Halloween candy. And yet... I mean, I sort of wonder if, you know, there is the... We have a law called menacing in New York State. But I don't even know if you could really put that exactly on the guy.
The question I have is, how thin can the excuses become?
Well, and what if it's really this, Don? You've got your neighbors, just for sake, are not far right wing. They're far, far left wing. And they don't like you. Why? Because you're wearing a camouflage jacket and you like to go shooting, target shooting on Saturdays at the gun club. So we just say, he's been looking at me funny. He's been walking around the hallway in a defensive manner. And there you go. Three bullies turn in three little stories, and next thing you know, you've lost your gun rights.
You substitute golf clubs for firearm. What if my neighbor doesn't like the fact that I play golf and considers that bag of clubs threatening? I mean, absurd, I know. But that's where this could lead, that slippery slope. It could really lead to the absurd.
I have a neighbor who... Like, when he comes home at night, I notice that he takes his putter with him and uses it as a cane and walks up to the grocery store, and he gets himself something, and he walks back. And he's the nicest guy in the world. What if, though, I find that club to be a threat, right? And I call it in. Well, he's got a golf club. He's... carrying it like a cane.
Yeah.
He's not carrying it on his shoulder. He's not twirling it around like a baton. You know?
Correct.
He just uses it as a cane. But see, I could cause him trouble by just calling that in. Or a decent law enforcement person would say, so what?
Yeah.
Call me when he raises it in the air and yells at you. You know? This guy didn't do that either.
No.
By the way, coming back to a summary, just a short summary of this ERPL law from Washington, this can be filed against any person who poses a significant danger of causing personal injury to self or others in the near future by having firearms. Okay? Now, that's a quote. Okay? The petition can be filed now by, of course, a law enforcement agency. You expect that, right? A law enforcement officer, I expect that. A person who is a family or household member of the respondent, the pre-criminal, okay? Family members include. Now, what do we mean by a family member? They include dating partners. They include persons who reside with that respondent, persons who have lived with the respondent within the last year. It's spelled out in Washington. They had to have been a resident, or they must have resided with that person within the past year. I don't know why that 12 months counts, but step-parents or step-children, grandparents, grandchildren. Now, we haven't committed a crime here. We just have, yes, you can consider them to be what? Honorable people, shall we say? They have a suspicion, that's what they're saying here, that this individual might commit a crime in the future. What's the basis? Well, I don't know. I would imagine that basis has to be provided to the judge, who then makes a ruling without the respondent being present. You don't have your day in court. He will be invited, however, into the courtroom after the warrant has been served. In other words, after the firearms have been removed. Oh, okay. That isn't, by the way, the case here in New York State.
Did they ever say wife?
Didn't say wife, said family members.
Because
family members.
A wife, right, can't be forced to testify against you. Mm-hmm. But look at the loose relationships that can be used against you. A girlfriend, a live-in roommate, your stepfamily. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Those are the people that you generally, if they're still not living with you, something probably made them move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? If you're not dating them anymore, and your stepfamily that, you know, you could be extremely loyal to, but chances are not, you're not blood, they're absolutely stacking the deck against you.
Yep.
So that, you know, we want to get this guy's guns, or we want to affect in some way to seize him or her, then we go to the least likely people that would stick up for your character.
You know, so the question that's rolling around in my mind is, what do we do? What do we do? Because we see there that there's a problem on the horizon. Obviously, the authorities are taking pre-measures. Mm-hmm. What do we do as free citizens to take some type of pre-measures? The only thing that comes to my mind is you got to listen to shows like this that try to bring up those topics. You've got to become more active with regards to the lawmakers in your community. You should all know who your assemblyman is, who your local mayor, town supervisor, the people on the council. You should know who they are, and you should be able to approach them in a peaceful, civil manner. You should know who your state senators are. You should know who your congresspeople are. I mean, we should be more involved, because that's where the laws come from. They react to a situation, and somebody is telling them, we need a law. We need a law. Now, my argument has always been, the laws aren't making us better. Mm-hmm. They're not making us safer. Do we want to have a stack like we talked about the IRS, 74,000 pages? Do we want to have a book of criminal laws that's so big that all we have to do is drop them on a potential criminal to demobilize them? Because they're not working.
They don't affect the criminals.
They don't affect the criminals. And we have to be more proactive in the sense that I don't think another law is going to do it. I think we have to go kind of back to basics.
Here's a catch, though. We have been proactive. Scope has been in contact with our legislators about this. But the governor and his partners down there, these guys and gals put this bill in the budget. You won't find any of these legislators voting against the budget. You know, I've talked to Republican senators from upstate. I said, you have to band together and vote down the budget. Oh, we can't do that. If we do that, there won't be monies for Lord knows what, busing and the schools and you know, you name it.
Right. And you get a
it'll shut the state down.
You get a fall and die or whatever that term is on this hill.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
hill isn't more important than kids getting to school or school lunch.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it is to a lot of people, but it's not to everybody, right?
It's kind of a false premise, though, because you know darn well that they're going to pass monies, just like our Congress has. They've done those stopgap things for months and weeks. They're not going to close up the government.
There should be an ethics rule, though, about being able to slip this kind of pork or whatever it is into a bill. It doesn't belong there. Right?
No,
it's policy.
So there should be ethics.
It's policy.
This.
that policy bills should be voted on their own merits.
What if you did the opposite? Period. What if you slipped this bill, a different bill, in and said, look, everybody gets a pistol?
Yeah.
In fact, we demand that everybody has a defense in their house and that everybody takes shooting classes and everybody has some weapon to defend themselves. Like, there's actually states and countries that do this, right? So if we slipped a bill like that in there, the other half wouldn't pass the budget. They'd go, no way. No, I'd rather my kid walk to school. But we don't do that. You know what this comes down to? It comes to that, what is it, New Amsterdam? Have you heard of that? New Amsterdam, where we split from New York State, New York City.
Oh, okay.
We split so that we can have a state of our like-minded values.
You remind me again of what we've talked about, what James Madison wrote in Federalist 51 about if men were angels. You know, because we're not, we need a government. And because men aren't angels, we need to watch our government. Because we know that they could do things that will harm the rest of us.
Well, we are watching them, and they're still doing harm.
Yeah, so...
We have no recourse. But most people aren't aware of this.
Yeah.
But they're not great. They're not even aware of it.
No, they aren't aware of it. Plus, there's many of them will say, well, gee, that isn't such a bad thing if somebody's going to commit a crime, possibly might commit a crime. Maybe we ought to take their firearms away. Yeah, but we have the Fourth Amendment to protect us from that happening. So these people that agree with that are saying, Fourth Amendment's not important.
Yeah.
It is important.
Second, it's not important.
They're
either.
All important.
Yeah, they won't.
Same with due process. We've mentioned that before, and I've got something in here that you can use if I don't happen to be here on just that issue, due process. Yeah. How many people in this state have had their firearms removed without any due process? This ERPO bill, by the way, doesn't allow for due process. I mean, you're not even notified. You get a knock on the door. You know, or in this one case, I don't know what state that was. They said that the judge would allow you in the courtroom after the warrant is served. So someone's already visited you at home. Your firearms have been confiscated, and now you get a chance to come into the courtroom. And when you do go in the courtroom, and I've been there, okay, with victims, what's the judge say? I can't do anything about it.
It's, you know what it sounds
like? I'm just here to tell you what I had to do.
It sounds like, maybe I'm just not understanding it, but doesn't it sound like you're not allowed to confront your accusers?
You aren't.
Because you don't get to show up.
You aren't.
Good observation.
Until after.
Yeah, good observation.
See, now, this loose leaf family of friends and I gotta say, if my character had to rely or my safety or anything, my reputation on X, anybody? Are you kidding me?
That's dangerous.
I wouldn't want that. And you know what? They wouldn't want it from me. I'd tell the truth about them. They'd want to tell the truth about me, or maybe the abstract of the truth. And you wouldn't want it. Those aren't those. That's why I can't believe it names those type of people. That's, again, does it say my brother? Does it say my dad? My mom? My wife? I would rather it contain people like, how about somebody that works with them 8 hours a day? How about my best friend who hangs out with me when I'm not working? No, let's pick the stepfamily, your ex-girlfriend. That is an amazing list.
Someone that lived with you up to 12 months ago?
12 months ago. Well, there's a reason why they don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
We don't get along.
That's right. Amazing.
So, Don, tell everybody where to get a hold of you.
Scope.
Scope.
ny.org. SCOPENY.org. ScopeNewYork.org.
And Armand? I found some other resources. You have a Facebook page as well.
We do.
And I noticed when I was doing research that there are a couple of national rallies coming up with regards to protecting the Second Amendment. The one organization that sent me something is the NCCPA, which stands for the National Constitutional Coalition of Patriotic Americans. And they have a Facebook page as well. So if you go on Facebook and you type in the National Constitutional Coalition of Patriotic Americans, there's almost 6,000 members on that Facebook page. They're talking about second national rallies for the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. So, again, scope, the Constitution, Second Amendment, all of the amendments, even the 16th Amendment, which we all despise, especially come Tuesday, April 17th, when you got to have your tax forms in. I mean, know these things. Know these things and be able to speak of them with information.
We are losing our liberty in this country.
Period. Quickly.
Bottom line.
Yeah, quickly.
Very quickly.
I agree.
Yeah, and by the way, I've made reference to the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth, and the 14th. Mm-hmm. They absolutely also are being attacked. Mm-hmm. And they're being attacked for the same reason that the Fourth Amendment is being attacked, because they provide the means to get at the Second Amendment and remove firearms. Yep.
Okay, that was Scope with Don Smith and Armin Marinetti from Civil War Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you, Tim.
Springtime weather forecast. Rainy, gray skies with a slight chill in the a.m. Tactical to practical. Military rain gear on sale now at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Camouflage rubber rain pants, USGI issue, only $19.99.
The Military Exchange.
Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. We are your premier full-service pet salon. Call to make an appointment, 585-355-4761.
Tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme. A memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue, and so things I didn't do.
Tune in every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone. Presented each week, Saturday 8 to 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.
Hit him up, hit him up, hit him up.